You're listening to The Comedy Cellar, live from the table on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Comedy Cellar Show here on Sirius XM Channel 99. We're here at The Comedy Cellar table. My name is Noam Dwarman. I'm the owner of The Comedy Cellar. I'm here with Sean Donnelly and Mr. Sam Morrell. As well as Mr. Dan Natterman, as usual. And we're going to be joined by a woman from the American Civil Liberties Union. So what did you want to talk about first, Dan? Hi, sit down.
Well, first of all, welcome back, Noam. The past two episodes, I had to sail this ship solo because Noam was out of town.
Oh.
Yeah, and he was vacationing in Fort Myers, Florida.
Rough place.
The entertainment capital of...
I did a weekend at a club there once.
Oh, really?
It was rough.
Yeah, there's nothing to do.
A lot
there.
Of white folded arms.
Is that the comedy cat? Not the comedy cat. What's
like
it called?
It was called Belushi's, named after the less funny Belushi.
Ooh. At the gym?
Yeah.
Oh, but let me introduce...
I just want to get to...
Just posters of the principal everywhere? Remember the principal?
Well, Noam, the week prior, Noam was in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you guys heard the news.
What?
The Comedy Cellar is opening up in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Is that true?
When's the grand opening?
Sin City.
You have to learn how to say Nevada if you're going to open a club
there.
That was
Dan.
ACLU lawyer Lee something or other.
Is
Lee
that true?
Roland is
something
a senior staff attorney with the ACLU Speech Privacy and Technology Project.
Cool.
She's recently interviewed on NPR where she explained why the ACLU supports free speech rights of Milo Yiannopoulos. Well, I want to talk about Milo. So anyway, yes, we do want to... and we're pleased to have her back on the show. He wrote it out for me. Of course we're pleased to have her. You're one of my favorites.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
She, Harvard, by the way. She went to Harvard.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
What, like it's hard?
Yeah.
And her husband. Your husband went to Harvard, too, right?
Yeah, he did. We're really obnoxious.
This is a woman of substance.
Don't invite us to trivia night if you want to win.
Oh, Dan. That's just throwing down the gauntlet. It looks like we're going to open in Vegas. I'm not sure. Dan.
It's 90%.
Showcase style or headliner style?
Showcase style. I want to send four comics and an MC out every week.
Lot.
Wow.
I want to do it like a Cellar show.
I mean, I think it's great. It's ambitious. I like the ambition.
But it needs it. I lived in Vegas for years, and there's no great comedy.
There's no good showcase.
You guys got to do it.
If anyone can pull it off, you could pull it off. I've never seen it done like that on the road, the showcase style.
Right. Well, this is what it was, if you want to know.
I do.
I did a spreadsheet. It's very expensive. The reason is it's very expensive. So
to send everybody out, super expensive, right?
To send everybody out and the hotels, everything, it's all expensive. So I put it in a spreadsheet, and when I was negotiating with the casino, I said, listen, this is what it's going to cost me. This is what I can pay. And they turned me down flat.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked away from the table. And a year later, they called me back and said, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
And a year, they cracked.
So the casino is going to pay all those expenses?
No. The casino is I have to pay rent, but they brought my rent and my percentage down to a number that I can manage to do what it is that I want to do. And I'm not going to make a lot of money there, but I think in order to break even, we'll have to have about 100 people per show. I think we can pull that off.
I think you pulled off
100 people per show.
Wait, you don't think you can make a lot of money? Then you're just doing it for.
That's what I asked myself.
Well, you might be able to make a lot of money.
I'll do it for the trip.
No, I might be able to make good money, but I don't know. It's like I just got to rev the engine of the Comedy Cellar to as many RPMs as I can get right now. Just to know that I did it. Otherwise, like 5 years from now, when it comes back down, I'd be like, well, you know, shit. Now,
I
want to see. I know this sounds childish. But I kind of like the idea of like those big signs in Caesar's Palace with the Comedy Cellar, and I don't know.
No, I think it's great.
Awesome.
And if I flop, I flop. I'm not gambling with any money that I like. You know, it's not gonna.
Now the setup of the room, are they setting it up for you?
No, we're building the whole room. It's gonna look exactly like the Comedy Cellar.
Wow.
This is part of the other thing. It's gonna be brick exact. Like it'll look more probably like the Underground than the Comedy Cellar because it's bigger.
Bigger, yeah.
But exactly.
Wow.
And a lot of the walls in the Underground, some of them are. They're not fake brick, but they're shaved brick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they're not all outside walls, but you can't tell the difference because it's real brick and real mortar. So we're building it really exactly right. And there's going to be a front bar, which I'm hoping to call the Fat Black Pussycat. I don't know, but it'll have like a table like that where people can hang out. And I'm hoping that performers and stuff around Vegas will come after their shows and hang out and try to create a scene.
Will there be rooms for Artie to make stains with the waitstaff over there?
Yeah. <there's, laughs>
all right.
Now, Lee, having lived in, I mean, yeah. the, you know, the audience typically that comes to the Comedy Cellar is a large percentage of them are tourists.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what Vegas is. Mostly tourists. However, they may be tourists of a slightly different quality. So you having lived in Vegas, what is your sense of whether our brand of comedy would translate well over there?
Well, I think so, because the quality, really, I would capture by the word inebriated. So I feel like that probably makes for a good audience, you know? So I think it's going to work.
She's all right, huh?
She's all right.
But actually, you're right. I had a client once who was a street preacher, and he basically had a equation. He had like an algorithm for figuring out where he could reach the most souls for Jesus.
Wow.
And he just stood outside on the strip because he's like, sure, they're all tourists, but unlike, say, Disney or Times Square,
it's a different type of
tourist. It's a different tourist every day, and they're all lost. You know, they're all sinners. So he's like, it's just the maximum amount of Jesus-ing he could do.
And isn't there a lot of East Coasters that go to Las Vegas? Isn't there a lot of Jersey and New York people that go there for vacation?
Of course.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And as far as comics, we'll try to bring some people who are out in LA because it's easier for them.
Yeah. Right.
But I think the idea of life having five guys out there who are, you know, what's the word of the day? Curated to, you know, to have a good hang together. That'll make it a fun gig. Right?
Yeah.
No, there's no complaints on the comic side. We're all down. We all want to go, provided we can negotiate an appropriate fee, obviously.
Well, the fee is, the fee that we're looking at is $2,500 for the week.
Okay.
For the comics?
Yeah.
That's exactly what I had in mind.
Oh,
I got that number from you.
I thought I said 3,000.
No, you did.
Wait, how many shows is that? How many shows?
Probably 9 spots.
Okay.
You need to teach him negotiating tricks.
6 nights, I think.
But, can I book it right now on the show?
Yeah. So, I mean, if the club is more successful, then maybe that could be more. I don't know. That seems to be what works.
But
that's good.
But I thought that's about
trip.
Right. 15-minute spots and trip and
Believe me, that's a good deal.
Okay, Sean is in. But I must say that, you know, there's a certain percentage of Comedy Cellar comics that will not do it for that.
Well, as long as they can keep a secret, maybe they'll make more.
But it's also Vegas. Okay. It's Vegas, Danny.
I understand that. Not everybody loves Vegas.
So you can go double your money at the end of the show,
right? Yeah, exactly. You can make
six nights
five.
In a casino.
Unlimited amount of money.
Is a long time. Six nights in a casino, you feel like, I mean, it's not Reno, but it's still, you know.
Yeah.
It's still
Reno
rough.
Is rough.
Reno's rough.
Reno, you can't walk outside the casino because there's all meth heads.
I know. It's like Dawn of the Dead.
You would have to send people. It's not like Aruba Ray has his gig and people go because they like the sunshine and the water. It doesn't have quite that appeel.
I want to talk about
Milo. I think that's you. I think
we will.
Will
we will. Just one more point.
But I do want to say, I just want to say that it's very tough for anybody to negotiate the price down after they've done Aruba. All right. So,
I haven't.
Oh, you haven't done Aruba? Okay, go ahead.
But the point is not everybody views Vegas as necessarily a great place to be. But I think this is going to depend also, as you mentioned, on pairing comics up with people that whose company they enjoy.
Yeah.
So that we can go with our friends and
right here, three guys.
Yeah.
Pals.
It is competitive with what people are getting paid to go out there. I mean, I did a little of the homework and I guess I have to beep out the amount because I probably shouldn't say it on the air. But I don't know. I asked a lot of people about that amount as kind of a rule of thumb and everybody seemed to think that was...
That seems reasonable to me. Plus the trip plus that seems reasonable. I like Las Vegas, though, a lot, so that's why it might seem like that to me.
The cost of living's so low. I mean, I haven't lived there for years, but when I lived there, I mean, everything was on the cheap, you know.
I mean, I guess it's always measured against what you would make if you didn't go.
Do you go to Vegas at all, Sam?
I've been there once for my brother-in-law's bachelor party.
No, you never performed. Did you like it?
I never performed there. I performed in Reno twice. 2 weeks, I'll never get back.
But, and was this recently?
Years ago.
Okay, so we don't have any, like, you know, we can't
I don't really like doing casinos. I've done that. I did that AC room that Sean and I both never got paid for.
Yeah.
That Atlantic City room.
What's his name?
Bob Kephart. I still text him all the time just to mess with him.
Do you really?
Well, yeah. I'm sure that phone's dead.
Yeah. No, he responded the other day for the first time. I've been texting this guy for years. I'm like, Bob, you owe me a lot of money. And he just doesn't respond. I just keep doing stuff like that. And he wrote back, new phone. It's not Bob. I'm like, you piece of shit.
It took him a while.
I know
it did.
Took him a year.
He learned that trick
and
a year
like,
later.
It was a rough
That's
gig.
Brilliant.
It was a new gig. We walked into I walked into the hotel.
He should have wrote back, who dis?
Who dis?
Oh, that's really funny.
Rough gig, though.
So listen, Lee works for the ACLU, American Civil.
That's awesome.
And I just want to say, I agree with the ACLU probably 50% of the time.
That's a lot.
But. I'm a big supporter of the ACLU, and the reason is, I was thinking about it, I'm a supporter of the ACLU for the same reason that I
consider it important that every accused criminal get the best defense. I mean, if the government is going to do something to you that involves your rights or your liberty, whatever it is, you want somebody there scrutinizing it and making them earn it.
Amen.
And so that's why. So we're doing a fundraiser next week, you know, for the ACLU in the Village Underground.
That is awesome.
Yeah, and I'm donating the proceeds as well, even though I don't agree with a lot of the ACLU. But I truly think without them, there's nobody.
Yeah. Well, I feel like how can you agree with them half the time? Because just the idea of the ACLU, that's you're either I feel like you're either all in or you're not. You're like what you just said about there should be somebody to defend people no matter what.
No, for instance, we can get into it, but
he's got an issue to issue.
I'm sure that on this travel ban,
right,
I will disagree with the ACLU position.
Okay.
I'm sure of it. Mm-hmm. I believe, at least if you want to just take the subset of the people who have never had any legal interaction with the United States of America, or nothing, you know, with people who really basically are just have no rights as far as I see it. I can't imagine the President of the United States having to, subpoena CIA agents and depose them and ask them what information they had. And the President of the United States says, I have information and we can't let these people in. I don't see how anybody can question it. But the ACLU disagrees. I get it.
Yeah, well, it's always questioned.
We questioned it. We're right, and federal judges agree with us. You're entitled to that opinion, but it's
and
not.
They swept.
No, it's
they
not
swept
only unconstitutional, correct, right? It's completely ineffective.
No, but that
it's counterproductive to terrorism goals.
Counterproductive is a whole nother.
Don't stats, and this is, I'm not, this
well,
is
that,
not my argument.
Well,
you guys
matters,
are.
That matters, right?
No,
I mean,
it
that's
matter.
What you just said. You want the government to have a good goddamn reason if they're going to restrict your liberties. They restricted your liberties, and they basically did it with crayon on a piece of paper. The thing doesn't do anything
Hold
meaningful.
On. Two things. I said, I'm distinguishing, and the order didn't do this, but I'm just about, mm-hmm. But the new one probably will.
We'll see.
The people who have, once you.
Well, it's so critical, by the way. He said he had to push it back because of a busy news cycle. So obviously we know what the priority is.
Well, they're trying to get it right. Well, he doesn't want to get humiliated again.
Get it right. By get it right, you mean
Here's
not
the thing.
Be humiliated
if
again.
If he would have done it right the first time, checked his, dotted his I's and crossed his T's, the ACLU wouldn't have gotten involved because they wouldn't have had no legal standing.
Well, she thinks, I believe, that no matter how they do it, they're at least going to put up a fight.
Well, it's an uphill battle now that he's made clear, right, what the underlying purpose and effect is, which is basically a Muslim ban.
See, so I never
you
took
go
him
back
to
the, you know, you go back to the drawing board, but the problem is now we've got a record, and the record is bigotry that keeps nobody safe.
So let me ask, we should have
scrutiny
and
on that.
Let me tell you, since we're into it, this is what I came up with right away, and this is what I think. Let's stipulate that the president is a bigot and hates Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
Now the
I accept that. Which
I actually go back. I don't think when he said Muslim ban, he ever meant anything other than as a kind of a shorthand, vulgar way of saying fight radical Islam. I don't think he ever meant to ban Indonesians or Malaysians.
Why does he always get the benefit of the doubt, though?
Yeah,
right.
No, stop getting the benefit.
I feel like that's what Kellyanne Conway just says about him all day. It's like, no, you have to see what's in his heart.
And no, I'm not. That's the way I took it when he said it. But anyway.
But why are we assuming everybody should have to take it like that?
Anyway, moving on. I'll answer, but now I forgot what I was saying.
Oh, this is rough. You guys should have put me on with Rich again. You guys can't agree with me.
Wow. So, let's stipulate the president doesn't like Muslims.
Uh-huh.
Now he's the president, and his CIA chief says, you know what? We have word there's a lot of infiltration from these following countries, and we think it's dangerous to let them in, but it's classified information. Are we saying that a bigoted president no longer has the obligation or the right to keep us safe? Are we saying that a judge has a right to call on the CIA chief, find out what his classified information is, and then the judge, who is also not vetted, not elected, may not have any expertise, he's going to decide whether this policy is correct based on the classified information?
Absolutely. Well, what's the alternative? A blank check?
The alternative?
For discrimination?
The president has always had a
blank check. Let me ask you this.
No, absolutely not.
Let me say one other thing. Let me tell you the alternative.
That's not true.
Right now, forget about immigration.
And by the way, you know judges can look at things in secret. It's called in camera.
Yeah, but
there is literally a foreign intelligence court that does this all the time.
Well, if it goes to the FISA court or something, then they might have certain rights to look at it, but they still have not been vetted by the American people that their judgment is the judgment that the people would like. They're going to be presented some facts. And then reasonable minds may differ. And there's only one person on the planet Earth that the American people have decided, you know what? It's his judgment we want to decide what course of action when he's presented with facts.
Incorrect.
And it can't be some judge.
Incorrect. We have three branches of government. The people are saying that's the... Okay, some percentage of the people that did not top
There's
50,
only one commander,
FYI.
Only one commander-in-chief.
Says that's, right, but the commander-in-chief is still subject to the Constitution. And as Madison said, the whole reason we put in constitutional rights is to avoid the tyranny of the majority.
Right.
That's exactly how it's supposed to work.
No, it's not tyranny of majority.
You're saying his authority comes from being democratically elected, even though it wasn't the majority. But even assuming
so
it was the majority...
where does the judge's authority come from?
The Constitution.
The judicial branch, and the people wrote the Constitution.
It's by and for us.
So the judge becomes the commander in chief?
No.
Yes.
But that's a check and a balance.
But if
the commander in chief cannot justify exactly how you started the show, if the government cannot justify this kind of discrimination with something other than bigotry,
will you grant me this? You're putting a judge as commander in chief in that situation.
But that's actually how the American system works.
When Barack Obama was droning people, a judge could have decided.
Absolutely, and the ACLU filed suits against targeted killing.
And I want you to run every drone strike. I want you to run it by the judge before you do it. Let him decide whether or not it's warranted. Now the judge is the commander in chief.
Now the judge is making the decisions to fight the war for us.
We have a lot fewer terrorists that hated us. If we had done that.
Well, now you're not doing a legal argument. I think facts matter too. I think it's an untenable position. I think the Supreme Court will, because if it's going to be, if this, they can do it every single decision that he makes in wartime, they can start deciding whether or not it was warranted. And then the judge becomes elevated over the president. And I think that won't work. But all right.
But this isn't a wartime decision. This is not wartime.
We're not at war.
By wartime, and I know I'm sloppy in my language, I mean decisions made to prevent loss of American lives.
That's fair, but you could put so much in that category.
Don't most studies show that these terrorists are legal citizens that haven't come over here, that are from here, and that were manipulated
on
the internet?
The policy of the Muslim ban, I don't think it's a good, I don't think I would want it if I was the president. I don't know. I don't know what he knows, but I'm not here to defend the wisdom of the travel ban. I'm saying that the president has the right, in my opinion, to get intelligence through that secret and make decisions. That's what he's always done.
The way it seemed to me is that this particular travel ban caused pandemonium in travel. Like, we saw it on the news, and I know the news is biased, whatever you want to call it, but if something came out that was... I don't think people are against alternative facts you're saying. I don't think people are against the travel ban. I think they just want everything to be done properly and to the point where you don't have citizens or people with green cards getting stopped and separated from their families in the airport.
I think that was the issue.
From a constitutional standpoint, in your opinion, because the Constitution is, all of it really is a matter of opinion, can be interpreted kind of any which way but loose.
Got some asterisks and strikeouts.
In your opinion, is any sort of, discrimination against Muslims in immigration unconstitutional?
These are people that don't live here.
They're not citizens. They're not even residents,
totally.
I'm talking about. I'm not talking about green card people.
Totally.
And I'm not talking about residents. I'm saying if we said we're going to favor Christians, for example, over Muslims in immigration.
Yep.
How is that unconstitutional? Whether or not that's wise or nice, how is it unconstitutional?
Well, part of that is legal and part of that is philosophical. But my answer is this. Our Constitution, if you read it, Congress shall make no law, right? It's about checks on the government. It's not about assigning rights to these people. Girl Scouts get X right, right? People we like get this right. Citizens get this right. It's about holding the American government in check so it doesn't run rampant and engage in constitutional violations.
But what is the constitutional violation of somebody that's not on U.S. soil, that doesn't live here and is not a resident, of saying we're going to favor, say, Christians or say whatever?
Are they non-citizens, you're saying?
What is the clause in the Constitution?
Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
I think Girl Scouts should get special treatment.
Those cookies? God damn.
Very good.
We haven't gotten to the bottom of my question.
I want to amplify Dan's question.
Yeah, sure.
Because I think you jump from two different positions, and I want to try to limit you to one, with your permission, which is you simultaneously say what you think the law ought to be.
Right.
And then
that's my job. I'm an advocate.
Right. But I think that we also want to know that.
Sure.
We also want to know what is the law as has been decided
right.
up until
you
now?
You want me to be a neutral legal expert without the passion that I've
I want you to inform us about it. Listen, yeah. this is what
that's
the court
not,
said.
No, more for than the record, that's not why I work for the ACLU,
I think the court
but
was,
I will do it.
Yes, I think the court was wrong here, but the court, I have to admit, Noam, the court has said kind of what you said.
Right.
However, I think that's wrong, and maybe, and if they overturn it, this would be the argument.
As a practical legal matter, that's generally been an uphill battle. And usually when courts are faced with a question about non-citizen rights, the approach by most civil
not,
liberties
not even,
lawyers yeah, in America has been to focus on the impacts on Americans' rights. So there are things called ideological exclusion, like we won't let a scholar from Iran come in. Those have been banned or struck down by courts because they impact the ability of Americans to hear that speech, and we have a First Amendment right. Similarly, they're doing this thing now like forensic searches of devices at the border, right? Let's say you haven't left the port of entry. You're not on U.S. soil. You've still got a phone. They do a forensic search. How many contacts with Americans is that going to reveal? Our world is really global, and I think being so cramped about constitutional rights doesn't actually benefit
but,
us.
But my question was, as though, just as an academic,
what
constitutional
and I
matter.
It. And I
what,
answered
where
it.
In the Constitution, what do you feel it's a violation of what exactly in the Constitution?
Equal protection. I answered that. I'm
equal
sorry.
Equal protection
didn't hear.
Of
yes.
people that don't live here?
Yes. Because I'm concerned about our government. That's what being a civil libertarian means. It means I demand that our government obey certain values and constitutional norms. And I don't care whether that person is a citizen. If you right now, if somebody
or
went out on
resident,
the street waving
a
sign and they arrested him and he wasn't a citizen,
no,
you
no,
think,
but
oh,
not,
nothing
I'm
to
not
see
talking
here.
About someone who's
okay.
not a citizen. I'm talking about someone
right.
that doesn't even live here.
Right.
He's not even
so
on our soil.
So you already agree that the Constitution applies to non-citizen. We're now just talking about the tiny question of when they're physically in a port of entry, is it okay
how about
for our U.S. government to
how about
act
they're physically
against our constitutional
not even
values?
In a port of entry. They're off in Iran applying however they apply to become a citizen.
Online.
Well, that violates human rights norms, you know, droning little children across
I'm not talking
the world.
About droning. I'm talking about what if we say
they apply for
we
a visa
have a
online.
Certain, they yeah. apply for a visa. We are from a certain place.
Right.
And because you're Muslim, we're going to give you a lower priority.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, why is that unconstitutional?
Again, I would say that the focus of the equal protection
well,
clause is on the government's actions. It doesn't say, P.S., this only applies to citizens. My job at the ACLU, not mine, my colleagues who are brilliant and work on immigrants' rights, is to encourage the courts to adopt
that. But we don't treat everybody equally because we do have priorities for certain places, do we not?
Sure, but a priority from a certain place is not the same as violating
okay.
equal protection based on race or religion.
Oh, let's wrap it up. What if we discriminated against people we identify as radical Islamists? Radical Muslims.
Well, I think if there was a legitimate national security concern, that would be a different thing, and that's really all we've asked.
Now, let me ask you,
show us something other than racism.
Now, can you,
racism doesn't keep us
can
safe.
Can you imagine a situation where now it's President Obama or somebody like him is president in 4 years from now, and now some conservative Republican appointee wants everything to be run by him,
mm-hmm.
and then the partisanship becomes an element in what the president, the commander-in-chief, can and can't do in terms of keeping us safe. I think it's untenable. I think that once you have a world where the President of the United States, as he always has been able to do, can decide bomb that tent over there, and he essentially can take life. It's an awesome power the President of the United States has, but I'd rather the President have it, who is accountable politically, than some judge who we know nothing about, has no expertise, is not accountable, can't be voted out of office. He should not be the one ever deciding what the President of the United States can do to keep the United States safe. That's how I feel about it.
But those checks and balances have always been there.
Wait, that has never been there. Unless it's in the most extreme case where he can't even present like the summary judgment case. He can't even present a plausible rationale for what he's doing. It's just clear that no person could be doing this for any other reason than racism.
That's what
that
accountability
case.
Looks like.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
by the way, it only works democratically to have accountability. People know what is going on and what the thing does. And that's part of what we do.
What's the expression? Bad law, bad cases make
bad facts make bad
can
law.
Can I ask you a question?
That's what Trump is.
Yeah.
Trump is literally the bad facts that are going to make bad law, that are going to saddle us with a kind of oversight.
Totally.
Of
but in all fairness, when I'm thinking about that, I'm also thinking about the next liberal president who's only going to let in Muslims.
Milo.
Right?
Let's talk
people.
About Milo, someone we can
all
get behind.
Can I have one quick question?
Yeah.
Now, putting aside the Constitution, just as a moral matter, what do you think of Japan? Are they evil, awful racists? Because they don't let, if you ain't Japanese, you ain't getting in.
No, that's not America.
If you ain't Muslim, You ain't getting in. And if you are Muslim.
Obviously, same with Israel. Citizenship is
based
on...
Don't turn this this way. Don't turn this way.
My question to you is...
Sorry, was that news to anybody?
My question...
No.
My question...
I just know this goes about Israel. It ain't stopping anytime soon.
My answer is I'm glad I live in the United States.
Are you outraged at these horrible racists? And would you go to Japan or boycott them and not go?
Yeah, I go anywhere, man. I think knowledge is good.
I would go too because we're both Jewish boys and we love them.
We're talking about Japan now.
Hey, look, I'm a First Amendment advocate.
Horrific racists.
I'm a free speech advocate, okay. I think our way of life is best. I really am a patriot. I love the Constitution. I literally do it
Follow
for
up
a
question:
job.
How would you feel if in 100 years?
But it'd be dumb
that
to
was
have
your
the,
final question.
Yeah,
final
it would be dumb to have the hubris to say I'm not going to investigate
other
ways
of life.
We have plenty of time. In 100 years, you're still alive by some miracle of science. In 100 years, it's Christmas time.
It's just your head.
It's December. It's December 20th.
It's Heathen Fest or whatever we call it then.
It's Christmas time. And due to a demographic shift in America, when you turn on the radio, instead of hearing Christmas songs, you hear, ah, hello, hello, hello,
that was super PC.
Do you think that's a better or worse or neutral?
Neutral, because I'm an atheist. I don't give a shit what other people believe.
Yeah, but you don't like... Do you hear what I hear?
I just heard what you said.
That's one of the worst possible Christmas songs you could have picked in that moment.
That's actually the best Christmas song.
I'm a Jew. I like the Christmas song.
Except for Stevie Nicks' version of Silent Night, which if you haven't heard, don't do it now, but at Christmas time.
I will ask you this. Would you like to do away with the national Christmas tree?
No. As long as there are other options for people of other faiths.
There are no other. No, first of all, that's
yeah,
bold.
Oh, that's
now
not
I'm shocked
bold.
At you.
That's not bold. They totally have a menorah and other stuff.
But it's kind of like the same thing as that Ten Commandments thing on the front state house steps or whatever that was.
Yeah,
no,
we did challenge that. Yeah. And we lost at the Supreme Court.
Listen,
we should have won.
That everybody knows position. The lit menorah is just... It's just bullshit pretext placating of the Jews. Everybody knows it's all about the Christmas tree.
I know.
Really? You really believe that?
I should be outraged, but those twinkling lights are so pretty.
Well, you know what? I agree with you. And as a Jew, I let them have their fucking Christmas tree. Like, I don't... At some point... You have to draw lines.
Enough celebrating, too.
The honest
how much
truth
do we
is,
need?
Christmas is a Roman tradition. Yeah. Okay, it's completely heathen. Somebody stapled Christ to it, fine. But a Christmas tree is a pagan object. It
no,
is a
no,
pagan
not in, not in my home, it's not. A Christmas tree in our home
even
is
when
Christian.
People say
I'm
happy
saying,
holidays
to
you instead of Merry Christmas, it does feel like after a show when someone comes up to you and they were like, we liked you too. You know, it feels like a little it feels a little insincere.
And Lee,
you know?
I'm shocked. I was sure you'd be against the national Christmas tree. That's like an easy case. You're against, you're okay with the national Christmas tree, but you're against the President of the United States having a commander-in-chief. That's amazing to me. Anyway, what about Milo?
I'm pro-liberty. As long as other people get to express religion and it's not a state endorsement of Jesus, I'm cool with that.
But you understand better than anybody how government will use a pretext and pretend. Jews, in case you don't know this, they don't light menorahs and put them in the town square with light. That's not, that's just taking a Christmas tree, attaching what a Christmas tree is and turning it into a Jewish object saying, oh, there you got your menorah, now let's go. And then the president goes and lights the national Christmas tree.
I know.
And Christmas is a national holiday and the post office is closed and I think it's fine, but I'm surprised that you
I
think
totally
it's fine.
I totally get it. And a cross I feel different about. But the Christmas tree, as I said, that's a pagan tradition.
So my grandmother was all the same. I'll tell you that right now.
And I'm
saying that only half kidding because I'm saying to a Jewish person, the feeling of a Christmas tree is the same as the cross and that's what matters.
Not to me.
Yeah, no, what matters to me is that, really. That there is diversity and look, even if you think it's bullshit, that menorah shows something, which is the government
words,
isn't only
no,
in lockstep
you're worried about establishment of religion. You want people who live in the country to not feel they're living in a country where another religion has been established.
That's exactly
they don't know
right.
the fucking 3,000-year-old history of pagan. They see a Christmas tree. They say, that's the Christians.
I'm just mad Kwanzaa doesn't have an object that we can't.
They have a smaller menorah, don't they? Is that what it is?
Didn't Sandra Lee have like a corn nut cake that made people vomit online or something?
Milo. You guys aware of Milo?
Sure.
I am, yes. I follow them.
I'm already tired of this guy.
What's your opinion of Milo, Sam?
You mean Bill Hader from Saturday Night Live?
he's not my type of guy. I mean, it's, again, I'm like, I'm a free speech guy, but I don't feel bad that he lost his book deal, really. You know, I don't really care. I mean, it's like, that's not a free speech thing to me. It's that he was being, Simon & Schuster should never have paid him that much money, I don't think. I think he's... I'm hard with this because to me, I don't find him witty or funny. I think every few ideas he says, there's one that I'm like, all right, that's kind of interesting. I don't, I think, fine, give him outlets. I don't give a shit about that. I think, you know, shut him down if you disagree with him. I'm not opposed to that, but I'm not impressed by him in any way. And I'm also, if I hear the word provocateur one more time, I'm going to lose my mind.
I think he comes off like the Perez Hilton of politics.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah.
Even dumber and more annoying, I would say, in all fairness.
What about the child?
I was being pretty nice. That was my nicest version. I really do not care for him.
What did you think about the child sex thing?
Could you give me a recap on that?
I didn't really pay attention more accurately.
Okay, so to be clear, when I defended Milo, which of course has put me in a maelstrom of liberal social media hatred after
Fuck them, you're doing your job. They're not liberals.
To be totally clear, and this is really important, Milo has never been at the receiving end of government censorship. Okay, that is absolutely important to say. The only reason I stood up for Milo kind of in the abstract is because he was invited to give a speech at Berkeley.
Right.
And a bunch of students in Berkeley worked to make it happen in the face of like a lot of resistance from students and faculty. They didn't want him
there.
That's a state school, Berkeley.
I've lost college gigs for less than this, by the way.
Exactly. Call me, by the way, next time it happens from a state school. But seriously, like he was invited by the Republican, the college Republicans.
Yeah.
It's not like Berkeley wanted him there, right. But a student group invited him. And right. I think revoking that invitation is a First Amendment problem. Berkeley did the right thing. From a First Amendment point of view, so far, so good. And then a bunch of students came out and protested him. Again, you're exactly right. So far, so good. Dude right. doesn't have a right to that forum, mm-hmm. right? And they have every right to say our schools shouldn't be used as a platform for hateful assholes, which Milo most certainly is.
Yeah, agreed.
So everything, so far, so good. Everybody's exactly how the First Amendment wants them to be. But then, during the actual kind of lead up to the event, as they're prepping and he's on stage, on campus getting ready to go on stage, I don't even know what to call them. I don't know that they were students. It's not clear exactly who they were, but some individuals decided to kind of engage in some property damage and like mild riots, some trash fires.
Non-students, correct? Was it non-students?
I'm actually just not sure. I certainly heard that, but I don't
want to
be.
As well.
I just don't
want to
be passing on
fake
news.
What did he say about the sex with kids?
Oh, so anyway,
he was on like an internet live video cast.
His thing got canceled, and that is a problem. That's what we call a heckler's veto, right? The government didn't censor him, but he had a right to be there. It's like if somebody pulled up a truck in front of the Comedy Cellar and prevented you guys from going on stage. That may not be a First Amendment violation, but that's a free speech problem, and that's what I would say.
The judge telling the president he can't
bomb.
And
that's all I said about Milo. He gets no more love from me than that. I'd be psyched if the First Amendment meant that everybody realizes his ideas suck and are wrong, and that's, I think, what's happened. So what happened was he then got a little bit of a platform, because now, rather than his dumbass ideas, he gets to trade on being a victim of liberal hatred of free speech. Right. So he gets on Bill Maher as a consequence of the kind of trash fire shutdown. And he goes on Bill Maher, and he's an idiot. But I think that took him to the kind of next level of visibility.
He was so annoying.
I don't find him to be charming or witty at all.
He's the mental capacity of a 13-year-old. He didn't convince. Not one of his sentences was convincing.
Unfortunately, I don't think helped on Bill Maher is when like guys like Larry Wilmore, who I like, but when he's saying stuff like "you can go fuck yourself," and the crowd, they're just sheep.
It's nothing.
It's not substance.
And then they hail him as a hero. I say most comics I know would have told that guy to F off on the show.
What did he say about children?
Okay, so he goes on the show.
Counselor will answer the question.
He says nothing on Bill Maher about kids, but I think what happened was that fame triggered people doing a deep dive into other stuff he said.
Yes, big time.
And so people then released tapes of him making jokes about pedophilia.
Uh-huh. No, let's listen.
Which I did on Conan 2 months ago, and Natterman did as well on Conan.
It wasn't jokes. Oh, he did kind of make
a
joke.
He did, because about he said he gave the best head because of Father Somebody.
Yes.
Right?
It wasn't pedophilia. I'm surprised at you because you've made different things before. He was already post-pubescent.
Yes, there's another word for it.
Yeah, I think when you're at the point.
And that's a very important distinction.
Oh, really? I think when you are in the position morally of drawing lines between pederasty and pedophilia, you've already lost the moral.
I asked my Catholic mother who did that during the priest thing. She goes, oh, it's not pedophilia. It's called this.
First of all,
he had a pube. It was fine.
First of all, I shouldn't have to convince you on the objective respect for just being accurate. To describe pedophilia, which is a condition of someone who's attracted to prepubescent children, to something which is more like Roman Polanski is accused of, or many people are of being attracted to a sexually mature young person, which also should be... Look, the age of consent in Puerto Rico...
This is a weird stance to take,
I was going to say, you'd be great in ancient Greece.
Hold on. The age of consent in Puerto Rico is 14.
It shouldn't be.
Vacation. Who's down? Come on.
That's what you should open up the Comedy Cellar.
That is the United States.
See, Milo, that's how you do a pedophilia joke. Come on.
No, that's the United States of America, And nobody has ever, and I haven't heard any outrage about it. I don't hear anybody trying to change it or say that it's unconstitutional.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, 14.
And there's states.
Whole cultures have always, for thousands of years, distinguished between marrying a 13-year-old, a 14-year-old, and pedophiles who were always considered
but,
evil.
But
if you want to say that Milo is evil for what he said, I'm all for going down that road, but don't call it pedophilia because that's not accurate.
I agree with you. But two things. First off, if the joke were better, I don't think he would have gotten in that much trouble.
You're right.
It's not a good joke.
Agreed.
And that's my point about Milo. He's not funny. Well. So then, seriously, if you're funnier, dude, I opened my Conan last set with it. It got an applause break. It's a pedophilia joke. It's a good joke. Learn how to tell a pedophilia joke.
What's your joke?
It's a long joke. I don't have to go into it, but it's...
Is it out there? He'll cut it in because he can get
it's the second joke I told on Conan last December.
Yeah. Okay.
And so you didn't open it.
I didn't open it. It was part of the first bit.
Okay.
So here's the thing. That's part one. Also, I forgot my I lost my train of thought. I'll be back with this.
Okay.
I'll be back with this. You got me fired up with this.
So in the set order.
Now, this is what I find ironic. First of all, I have to admit this. This is true, and this is part of
it. Oh, no, I got it.
Go ahead.
Okay, first off, it's ridiculous to me that Simon & Schuster, you could just tell they wanted out of this contract so badly that it's like you were cool with all the other shit he was saying, and then this is what lost the deal. I don't get it.
And that is the exact point I would make, that this is not about free speech. It's about the people who supported him being just fine with hatred of transgender people, with disgusting homophobia, and with disgusting misogynists. But, you made a pedophilia joke a bridge too far.
I'll make a great
free
comparison
speech,
to this.
Free speech, my ass.
I got asked to do a festival in Houston next month, and one of the heads of the festival said something transphobic, and my agent said to me, "Do you still want to do the festival?" And I was like, how bad was it? And I saw it, and I didn't think it was that bad, what he said. I thought it was tasteless, but he apologized. And I was like, you know what? I got another gig really close to that gig. Let's just make it work. So I already kind of wanted to do the gig. That's my point. Some usually wanted to drop him. They wanted out.
Yeah, they wanted out. They're looking for a reason. But that's often the case when you're in a business thing that you realize you need a reason.
Yeah.
Probably contractually... You probably have to have a legal basis
maybe,
to even end
it. Maybe, but CPAC didn't. You know, the Conservative Political Action Conference had him slated as their lead speaker. They thought it was super cute that his reputation was hating on trans people and gays and women.
Right.
And until, God forbid, he made a joke about pedophilia.
Right.
And all of a sudden that got nuclear. So all I'm saying is, sure, I defended Milo's free speech, and I did so, I think, principally because what happened at Berkeley was fucked up and unacceptable.
Yeah.
But to suggest that the censorship of Milo, that any reduction of his book deal, that the loss of the CPAC speaker was censorship in some way, does not pass the laugh test.
It's
about values, and the people who are supporting him hate women, they hate gays, and they hate trans people, but oops, pedophilia doesn't look good on a re-election
How do they hate gays when his whole shtick is that he's gay?
Have you ever listened to him?
Yes, I listen to talk about him, how he sucks black cock.
And he also says,
and
I
no,
can't
he's not
hire,
Lisa Lampanelli.
He says he doesn't hire gay people because they're late and they're always on drugs. That's homophobia, even if he's gay. You don't get an exemption card. I can be racist against white people. I can be a sexist.
If you're of that group, you can rib that. I don't think he literally doesn't hire gay people. I think he was making a joke about
gay people.
Every
single member of his sad little entourage is a straight white dude from a 4chan thread. Every
from
single one of them.
From a what?
It's like a worse Reddit. Sorry.
Oh. I have to be honest with you. When I hear him say those things, I always feel that between the eyes, there's a wink and a twinkle, and he's really making a point more.
Same
than,
thing with Trump, you said, though.
Well, you know what? People, and I say that about some comedians, too. I mean, he's...
I just want to know, is there anybody who's not a white guy you'd give that benefit of the doubt to?
Absolutely. And you know what? That's not a nice thing to say.
It's not, but it's pretty common that in society those are the guys who get the pass.
I have grown up as a heterosexual, with more knowledge and inside everyday experience with homosexuality and my whole life. There's nothing about... Listen, let me make the devil's ad. First of all, I've known gay guys who've told me about similar relationships they've had with older men when they were first coming into age sexually, and they had a similar take on it to Milo. I can't help but say that when he said that, I said, you know, that reminds me of someone else said a very similar thing. that it made them feel better about themselves.
You should start hosting some NAMBLA meetings at the Cellar.
Well, but you're making
fun of me.
That's
two nasty comments from a woman who, on the last time she was here, said that possession of child pornography should be legal.
Because it's good for the...
Mere possession?
Yeah. Wait, that's not true.
It reduces crime against children.
So
that's statistically proven.
So capturing the Freedman's rent it.
Hold on. So that's it. And then, you know, I remember the listen, if you look at the gay pride parade.
Yeah.
And this is Dub's joke.
And I do.
You
don't look too long. You might become one.
Is it, how outrageous is it? Like, when I'm saying, like, over the line, is it for somebody to see that parade, which is an expression of that they give of their community, and then say that that community is any of those things? You see, you know, it's as if the Jewish, the Israeli Day parade or something was all like dollar signs and banks and whatever that is. Like, how can you say Jews care about money? How can you say they're into, well, did you see the parade? That's you know, you see the gay pride, it's all dicks and it's a weekend of drugs and late nights and alcohol. Whatever. And this is the community that Milo is coming out. It's a community that I know this community. I also know the community of totally everyday gay people who go to work every day, whatever it is. But to pretend that that community that he's kind of making fun of, making reference to, doesn't exist, I think is political correctness. And he's referring to that aspect of the gay community.
Okay, fair enough. But that aspect exists in the straight community too.
I'm saying that
being politically correct.
And
he just doesn't get a pass because he bleached his hair and wears pearls.
And I'm saying that when we exaggerate him to mean more than that, I mean, a sophisticated people exaggerate more than that. I think we're guilty of kind of hanging. And let me make the final proof is that do the same people who are hanging Milo. What percentage of these liberals who hate Milo do you think are not saying Roman Polanski should come back? Meryl Streep giving Roman Polanski a standing ovation. Everybody loves Roman Polanski, who actually was the banger of the 13-year-old.
Can I make one?
Not the 13-year-old. He's a 13-year-old who makes a joke about being abused.
Can I defend that in one way when people do that?
Yeah, and normally when somebody who's abused is kind of representing a Stockholm syndrome, liberals will be like, well, he says that, but you know, you should feel sorry for him because he's damaged by this abuse. That's why he's saying this. So this is just proof. No, with Milo, no, he was the one who was abused. He's making a joke. We see no sympathy for him. But Roman Polanski, who actually fucked the 13-year-old, no, that he's a hero in the liberal community. And that fucking rank hypocrisy is why I get mad, and that's why I want to defend this
and
guy.
And you should be mad.
It's disgusting.
But how are you comparing people? Okay, first off, Milo never directed a movie like Chinatown.
That's right.
He never put something great out there. And here's another thing: people who are famous always get a pass. Are you Michael Jackson? I'm not saying it's right, but how could you be? I mean, it's just
he shouldn't have gotten a pass.
He shouldn't have gotten a pass. But I'm saying Roman Polanski. No, you're comparing a guy who writes for Breitbart to one of the greatest filmmakers
you're
ever.
You're pointing how the world works, and of course you're right.
Of course.
But I'm saying what I
do.
Don't
I think Roman Polanski's a rotten person. I think Woody Allen's probably a rotten person.
I don't want to jump on that bandwagon. I don't want to jump on that bandwagon. A, because I feel like the way he's saying things, I don't want to use the P word, but the way he's saying things, the more sophisticated, you understand what he's doing. I don't like the way he says it. But the other point I made, that he's actually the victim here. And liberals, I've never heard them not go out of their way to explain away something that a victim did. No, and this is the one victim, a 13-year-old who was molested, who is now a bastard because he somehow didn't see this as a negative
thing. It wasn't liberals at all. That's the whole point. The liberals were pissed about the transphobia and the potential that might have been an untrue rumor that he was going to out undocumented students at Berkeley, right? That's what they were pissed about. It was the conservatives. It was the conservatives.
Yes, you're right about that.
I agree with you. Of course I care. We should be outraged about hypocrisy. I'm literally a civil libertarian because I want consistency. I don't care if you're a liberal or conservative or a Girl Scout or Milo. You get those rights. Yeah. But here, there wasn't some grand liberal conspiracy. This was the Republicans pretending at CPAC that they liked free speech and Milo was the vehicle for it until he made a joke.
To be very clear, I have a 13-year-old. I mean, I have a 5-year-old daughter who will be 13. And I do not in any way think it's okay for any grown man to have sex with her. I hope some idiot could take it that way. But I am struck by the fact that Puerto Rico is 14. And that seems to be perfectly fine. And believe me, if anybody comes after the Puerto Ricans, now you're going to have an issue because now you're going to come after a favored group and you're going to start criticizing their culture. And if it's so outrageous, it seems like it should not be allowed to be 14, right?
Well, there's certain things that happen in different places in here that are okay. I mean, are we just going to adopt how Thailand run things? You know?
I'm not.
When in Rome?
Can we at least give Milo credit?
When in Brazil?
Can we at least give Milo credit? For what I think is a wonderful character. Maybe now Sam disagrees. Sam doesn't think he's very funny.
Bruno?
He may not be.
He's like Bruno, yeah.
But he really staked out a niche, which is something as a comedian we should all appreciate. Is that the gay guy? That's a concern. That's an outrageous gay guy who talks about sucking black cock, but is also kind of
wearing pearls.
Is wearing pearls. First of all, he
but
is.
But otherwise, have the politics of like a Midwestern 60-something yes, white well, that's guy, right? I mean, it's amazing.
I mean, you know, if you were to pitch that in Hollywood, they would say, "Hey, you might be onto something. This is an interesting character," and that's certainly why he's become so famous. Mm. Also, he happens to be a very good-looking guy, I think. Does anybody have any comments about that?
I don't
doesn't do it for me personally.
I think he's,
no, he's handsome.
He's a very handsome guy with the pearls and the crazy outfits. With these politics, can we at least give the man credit for branding?
But don't
for
you think
capitalizing on a brand, sure.
For a whale of a branding. He may not even have these real things. He may have just been like, you know, I want to become famous. How can I do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but do you respect that? Do we respect reality TV stars who are like just trying to brand themselves? I mean, to me,
I'm just saying, is he or is he not a good brander?
He's a good brander.
All right, there you go. That's the point.
I fell apart pretty quick. I think we just gave him his 16th minute, but guys, it's mostly up.
What I really despise about him is the cruelty, like the stuff about Leslie Jones.
Yeah,
I fucking hate. I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate not that he's exactly unique. I mean, I remember. That seems to be the way Twitter is, you know?
Yeah, but he was gleeful about it.
But it's just disgusting. It's people who worked here. Like, it's not funny, and it's hurtful. It's truly hurtful to
it
people.
Was racist
and he also said
and
shit about Amy,
shit.
And it's like, Amy's making positive shit. She's putting good stuff out there. She's making good movies. You know what I mean? Like, this is a guy who's basically a professional
what did he say
troll.
What did he say about Amy that was so bad?
He just said she's not funny.
He's a right to that opinion.
He's a right to that opinion, but I'm just
saying. That's not outrageous.
That's not outrageous, but my point is that he's a guy. He's a troll. That
he's
is what
troll.
He is.
Yeah, of course.
He's no more. He's a YouTube commenter that picked
come
up a
life.
Character.
Fortunately, that's the way the business is going. I wish I'd come up with a gimmick like that.
Would you be happy? He doesn't seem happy.
I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't be happy.
It is really interesting.
I got to figure out a shtick.
The one thing he does do in some ways is kind of forces us in person to realize what the internet would look like if we all talked to each other in the real world as people talked on Reddit comment threads. And it philosophically, I find that an interesting thought experiment. But I'm not going to give him credit because I think he's just an asshole who was like, oh, I can adopt the same retrograde ideas about hating women and sexual minorities. It's just that if
look,
I bleach my hair, it's cute.
I
like,
wish,
come on, that's
I wish writing right. brilliant jokes and telling them wonderfully was enough to get you famous, but I've proven that it's not. So,
but that doesn't,
now
you make
I gotta
a good
fucking,
point, though.
I got to, you know, and I got to fucking figure something out. And Milo, he figured it out.
Go ahead.
He does make me feel better, like, picturing that that's what YouTube commenters look like, though. You know, when someone calls me, like, a retarded Michael Phelps, and I'm like, pearls. That does help, for sure. But,
I wish that in an age where we're supposedly coming to be very sensitive to bullying, I think it's all bullshit because there's people basking in bullying right now, and they just do it online. And I wish it wasn't socially acceptable. It really bothers me that people are so free in just being hurtful. I know I sound corny, but it truly is hurtful to people. You know,
I agree with that.
Doesn't feel good. It definitely ruins my mood. Like, I got a Google alert the other day, just people just saying, like, they didn't like me on a radio show, and they're like, he needs to kill himself, like, one after another. And for, like, a couple minutes, you're like, yeah, that fucking feels bad. But then it washes
you know,
away.
You
the comics created this,
so
in a sense.
It. Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's like the roasts are all about this, so you can't blame people for then adopting that brand of humor.
But again, the roasts are, like, you know, they're vetted jokes. It's in one space. They're well-written. And right. What they did to Ann Coulter was a bit much.
Yeah, it was horrible.
But... you know, I mean, at least that's one night. You sign up for it. You agree to be there. There's consent to it. I guess
everybody wants to get in the act.
You agree to be on Twitter, I guess. You agree to be on this social media. But people write shit. And it's like sometimes you can't even tell they're being funny. One guy just wrote something like, kill yourself. And I was like, block.
Now this whole
and I saw what he said. He goes, oh, my God, he responded to me or something like that. he was happy.
He loves me.
I like to just go on and love all my, you know, heart, whatever you call it, like, yes, love all my mean tweets about me. It just throws people for a loop. They think I'm so unhinged. They just stop immediately.
Did people tell?
But mostly it's because I'm actually cackling. I'm like, yeah, you deserve that.
It feels like this whole notion of kill yourself is a relatively recent phenomenon. I don't recall it from the 70s and 80s. But I hear that a lot. I see that a lot. Kill yourself.
Kill yourself. Delete your account.
Well, delete your account is obviously not quite as extreme.
About this week with the Krillstein? Is that this
Jimmy Krillstein? I knew him many years ago. I knew him quite well.
Can you tell the story?
I don't think there's much of a story.
There's not a story.
He was fired from
his podcast with his wife. There's not really a story.
Well, it's all over Facebook. It's got to be something.
Yeah. It's all over your feed.
It's all over our feed.
Happy birthday was all over my feed once.
This is in the community of comedy. This is kind of the headline today.
He's a guy who's an annoying comic. We all disliked him. I remember he came after me hard during that joke thing.
Oh, is he the one?
He was one of the many. I mean, there were many. I don't even want to go down that road, but he was a guy who...
You tell the rape joke, you mean?
Yeah, and he, of course, you know, he went at me hard, and he's one of those guys who wears, like, wears shirts that say feminist or vegan. He's very hardcore, like, to the point where he's, like, the left Milo, almost, yeah. You know? He's like, but it's too much, and he's... very smug and full of himself, and the whole thing was he was kind of started with like some promise early on as a comic, but he became this just pandering, smug, annoying, and like
must have been getting a lot of pussy that way.
One wife, but yeah, I guess all these other women, who knows? But who knows? I don't know the whole story.
He was fired because it's a very ambiguous. He was fired from is it Citizenship Radio or whatever it's called. Because apparently a couple of women complained that he was manipulative.
And predatory.
And predatory.
Which we don't know what that means.
We don't know what he did or what that even means.
Those are lovely adjectives.
But, of course, there's a lot of people
A couple said abusive, and I'm like, okay, but we don't know what that is.
We still don't know what that is. And, however, because...
Nothing like ruining someone's career with vague comments.
Manipulative and predatory. That describes every guy trying to get laid. Really, it's like...
Since he's one of those guys that walked around with a T-shirt that said feminist, people are finding this obviously very amusing and taking great delight in it.
Well, he's the left version of like one of those Republican senators
who gets caught with a wide stance or lifting luggage or footsie
under the stall.
Yeah.
Well, you know, amongst...
Hypocrites and fundamentalists suck.
Amongst
that's
men...
That's just the truth.
So that's why comics... I mean, obviously, no one, I would hope, would be trying to... exploit victims in any way if people were harmed by this guy. That's terrible, but I think comics are enjoying the
hypocrisy.
Well,
look, we exploit Hitler. We love Hitler. Look at how many people he harmed. How many movies, TV shows, books, the entertainment this man has given us.
Hitler did more than predatory behavior.
But the point is...
He was manipulative, too.
He was manipulative.
The point is we're more than happy to make Hitler jokes and revel in all the entertainment that this man has given us over the years, from the Dirty Dozen to...
Hogan's Heroes,
and the Great Dictator. Because there's victims involved doesn't mean people shouldn't get some joy out of it.
That's your job as comedians, right? Is you actually can go to those dark places that other people can't to reveal fucked up truths about the human condition.
I don't really reveal a lot of fucked up truths.
Okay, well,
I talk
about
go to the end of the block and turn gay.
Fair enough. But I'm saying it really kind of ties together everything we've been talking about. I mean, that's what's so interesting about the discretion about Milo. If he was better at it, right? If he was a comedian that
he's
was revealing...
He's an open micer.
Yeah, if he was revealing
I think he needs
about
a good
people,
joke.
That would be different. He's just a bigot with a platform,
I think
his 15 minutes are up, and thank God.
Well, I think he's revealed some truths revealed.
Oh, I think so.
I think the bit about I don't hire gays, they show up late, was an interesting point. But it wasn't well delivered,
and could have
used a better punchline.
Yeah,
he's playing behind the "I'm sassy, I'll say it." That's like a type of comedy to some people. Like I said it, where you're like, okay, but there's no structure to that joke. There's nothing there. There's, okay.
Now, Noam, what about your experience with gay employees?
Go
ahead, Dan. Ask me anything. I'm sure I'll answer honestly. Go ahead.
Do they show up late because of partying?
No. In general, no. But. That I can remember, it's changed over the years. I remember in the 90s, I know they were like Eric Adams and Marco.
Can I just go to the bathroom right now? Because I don't want any audible reactions.
I'm going
to
say their names. And Gerald, who's still, you can tell my sister. They're Eric Adams and Ben and John and all the gay waiters you work with. They used to fucking party harder than any people I'd ever seen. They were coked up and they would work 48 hours in a row and then they would not show up to shifts the next day. And then, it was that time. There's been movies made about this. This is a subculture within a community that really existed. Why you think that? I mean,
I don't think it's because they're gay. I think it's because they're hot and childless and they live in New York City. Have fun, boys.
I'm not saying it's because they're gay, but yeah. I'm saying this was a part of this was a. This was going on. This was hot. It was a time of coke and partying and whatever it is. And that's kind of what it sounded like that Milo was referring to me. And he's doing it from the, usually what's the protective coding of being within that community. Like normally when you hear a black guy saying shit about black guys, whatever it is, you say, oh, he's black, he can say that. Oh, no, not so fast, Milo. You don't get that pass. Being given that, and he probably thought he had that pass to kind of tease. Or Jews. Listen, you know how many times I'll have a conversation about money with some Jewish friend of mine? He'll get, don't be such a Jew.
That's fair. But you Milo's know? Not a woman and he's not trans, and those are the two primary targets,
and
right?
We know it. And we know Jews Leslie, talk like that. Because
Leslie Jones, it was race. Like, I'm okay, you can pick out those two things, but don't pretend he's not a bigoted prick.
No, I'm not. Not for a minute. I'm not that familiar with
him. But that's not to say that people don't get offended. Like, I make jokes about Jews. I did a synagogue a couple weeks ago, and they groaned at, like, almost all of them. People get offended.
Listen, this is what I think, and I think we're all going
to
agree with
this. I'm a Jew. You're not allowed to just... That doesn't vindicate you in every setting, you know?
I think that it's very much, psychologically, our
Well, because you didn't make fun of the right things.
Our reflexive...
Maybe I did. Maybe my jokes weren't strong enough. Who knows?
Our reflexive reaction...
You're not right for a synagogue.
Damn!
Our reflexive reaction to these things is quite often, whose ox is gored? And I think that we should all agree that it's important to try to encourage a societal mores, whatever it is, of not jumping down people so quickly when they say something that you, even if you find it offensive. We need more room for people to have something come out the wrong way, to say something that's offensive, whatever, because this just, it becomes back and forth shutting down. This, whatever, because you can draw a line anywhere and say, I find it offensive. And I just think that, and I just, even though I don't agree with what Milo's saying, and he might, listen, Mel Gibson is back in the limelight now, whatever it is, after he said his thing about Jews, and I'm like, good, I'm glad. Like, don't not end this guy's career because he says something about Jews. Give him that fucking latitude. I can handle it. I just think that's a better way to live.
You're compassionate, and I'm not going to comment about Mel, but I'll agree about Milo. Sunlight's the best disinfectant. I'm not afraid of ideas. If you got shitty ideas, say them. I'm not afraid of it. I'll respond with
Call
better
him
ideas.
On him. Make him defend them.
It doesn't always work. You know, it's kind of an ideal, but a lot of the time it doesn't. I think Milo's actually a success story.
And like, let me tell you something you
really
should worry
about. People heard enough of his ideas, and they're bored, and they're over it.
I would like to have Milo on this show to confront him, have you on with me, and confront him on his ideas.
Ugh, hold I don't want to give
no,
him...
Listen.
He's not worth
listen.
That much attention.
No, but listen. I can't do it. I risk my career. I risk my business. I risk my family. I risk everything if I just want to say, let's have this guy in and let me debate him.
Does anyone
that's
know this gentleman at the end of the table?
I've met him.
Okay.
He's my husband.
That's what bothers me so much. And I think I told you, like, when we were doing these debates, I wanted to, let's do a debate about Holocaust denial.
Okay.
Let's get some people in who deny the Holocaust. Let's get some real people and let them and let's see them defend themselves. I can't do that. People say, "What? You don't believe the Holocaust?" No, of course I believe the Holocaust happened, but I think that I would like to see the debate. I would like to see the people who deny it be called, and the people who claim the Holocaust claim the people who are representing the fact that the Holocaust did happen. Let them say, "How do you know there was 6 million?" Well, we know there's 6 million because this isn't. And how do you know? No, listen.
We have the names.
This is healthy stuff. It's good for people to understand how 6 million was arrived
of
at, how it
is.
Happened.
And we should be challenged what even about, when it's not Holocaust denial, even when it's something we're less sure about. We need that oxygen
but we can't
to be able
do
to
it.
Have these conversations.
We can't do it. I can't have Milo on. I can't have a Holocaust denial debate. And this is what I'm always feeling the urge to push back again. And that's
that
why.
PC culture. I understand that.
Well, he's very good at triggering them. He's very, like, I mean, the way he did it, he is a performer in a way. He's not a talented performer, but he's good enough at getting, when he would get them to groan, he'd be like, oh, look how easy they are.
Mm-hmm.
That's the stuff he was
mm-hmm.
doing. And he's right. And as someone who identifies as a liberal, it annoys me. When I see them go, oh, I'm like, I have that same reaction in the crowd. I'm like, come on, we're adults. And he's not saying anything bad. See that he's trying to shock you. See that it's nothing.
That's
just give him silence.
That guy's main focus. But just
let him have crickets.
I think if it would have worked for him to be liberal, he would have been liberal. I don't think he has an allegiance to either thing.
I agree totally.
He doesn't believe. The minute you see him, you know he doesn't believe what he's saying.
That's what annoys me the most about him. It feels dishonest.
Yes,
I think that's
absolutely.
What annoys me the most of him, as a comic at least.
Does Ann Coulter feel dishonest to you?
Yeah, it does. It
yes,
doesn't seem,
I don't think.
I feel like it's another manufactured character. I really
Kellyanne
do.
Conway feels dishonest.
Kellyanne Conway,
Martin
you can
Luther
find
King.
Tapes of her saying,
yes.
like criticizing Trump
it.
And saying he's the worst candidate
yes.
ever, right? I mean,
a political hack.
You're
gonna
find
the
tapes
thing is,
doing stand-up.
She gets paid for being a political hack. The weird thing is, in D.C., that's not a liability. That's
right.
A
was she
well,
getting,
that's an inherent problem right there.
Was,
yeah,
she getting, paid as a political hack for the previous comments?
Yeah.
So then,
just for somebody
why,
else.
So why are you presuming that those are the ones that represent her real belief? In
we don't, you
well,
don't
I'm
know.
I'm not presuming anything. I'm just saying she gets paid to say whatever is politically expedient.
Every 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 person in organized politics.
Of course, and she has a right to do that. I'm just saying you got to take that shit with a grain of salt.
What did you think of Trump's speech last night?
I actually didn't watch it. I'm sorry.
I
heard
here.
It was subdued.
I only saw clips. I was here.
Okay. All
at right. this point, what he says doesn't really matter much to me. And, you know, we at the ACLU care what he does, and pretty much everything he's actually done has been constitutionally problematic. So he can go and behave himself and be calm all he wants for a night. What matters is the action and how he treats people and whether Americans are living in fear unjustifiably because he's rampantly shredding the Constitution. And unfortunately, he is. So he can give polite speeches all he wants. I care more about seeing the product of his policies.
I kind of agree with you.
How is he shredding the... I mean, we know that your position on immigration restriction, but how else is he shredding the Constitution?
Oh,
he may
his,
be
his promise to open up libel laws, right? His comments about...
But he's not going
to
do that.
Well, of course he's not going to do it, right? Because he can't do it.
Although
there
I think
are
libel
limits.
Laws are ridiculous.
Yeah,
but
of course. But also there was the other executive order that was basically like a, you know, get out of discrimination free if you're religion that apparently got kiboshed. I mean, according to gossip by Jared and Ivanka, but may resurface. So there,
can,
you know,
can I make this argument?
And the chill on public employees, the degree to which public employees are terrified right now. All the National Park Service, the other government accounts have been shut. Like everyone's in lockstep. There is a huge chill on public employees right now. They are scared. They are legitimately terrified that on the weekend they put up the wrong Facebook post critical of the president and get fired on Monday. Now that's a problem.
I'd represent them
if that happened. I'm just saying, like, there is a pall over public employees right now, and they
are
terrified about retaliation.
I agree with you more now. But let me say about the libel laws. I think you agreed with me last time about this. There is a real tension now more than ever between freedom of expression and right to privacy.
Yeah, sure. I did a panel about that this afternoon.
And libel laws are not in the Constitution. It's a court decision with New York Times versus Sullivan.
Yep,
and they backed into a certain standard, which it's not shredding the Constitution to think that standard should be revisited. Plenty of countries like England, let's say, which have a very healthy free speech and free press.
And lack of First Amendment.
Canada actually does suppress free speech.
Yes, yeah.
But England, not so much, as far as I know. And they don't use the same standard as New York Times versus Sullivan. So, you know, and quite often
has a right to be forgotten, and the problem is that's
I
been
like
taken.
That too.
No, it's terrible. It's been taken advantage of by rich companies who have sued to be like remove evidence that we went bankrupt or defrauded our customers 6 years ago. It's horse shit. It's just benefiting people in power.
Listen, if some girl goes online and says Sam Morril has herpes.
Uh-huh.
I slept with him. He has herpes.
I'd be like, who told you that?
and now it's
in all fairness,
now
that's endemic.
That's the second time herpes was mentioned.
Now it's there forever for the people. Morels will be changing their name to something else and not be associated with grandpa herpes. Whatever, you know. It's like for there is something there which disturbs me. I think that if somebody has something like that, that's personal. Just because it's true doesn't mean someone ought to be able to put it on the internet forever for every single person you ever meet for the rest of your life to know that. And right now, truth is an absolute defense. That bothers me. I don't know. I don't want to shred the Constitution, but I don't like that.
Well, the internet is what.
I'm on your side.
I have a question. And this, I'm not a lawyer here or anything, so I have a question. Sean does a lot of part-time legal work. But I mean,
mostly
cakes. Could you sue for defamation, even if it's true?
No.
Really?
No. The biggest issue that's arisen in that area is revenge porn.
Sure.
So, right, like a vindictive ex-lover posts a picture of your genitals online, that's true, right? A picture's about as true as it gets.
Right.
You know, do you have an action against
them? What are the laws about consent there?
I mean, they're all just starting to pass, and it's actually one of the most contentious issues of the law.
Right.
And it's because the Supreme Court has ducked time and time again. When speech and privacy clash, they refuse to kind of make big pronouncements. They say, oh, this is really hard, and we're going to just deal with these really intense specifics.
And it's a moving target.
It is. And there's no question. Look, the group I work for at the ACLU is actually called the Speech Privacy and Technology Project for exactly the reason you just said, is that as we have new technologies, and really the elephant in the room is the internet, it puts so much pressure on our traditional conceptions of
right
what
now,
free speech and privacy mean.
I mean, it's supposed to work for us. It's, you know, the Constitution is supposed to work for us, not work against us.
What is the standard right now? Because you work on the committee.
Right now, the law is more in favor of free speech, right? So one thing I deal with a lot are like mugshot websites. I want to be clear, they ruin people's fucking lives. For the rest of your life, your employer Googles, and they see your mugshot. You might not have even been charged with that crime, but it is my job to argue that that is a government record that needs to be public. And if we allow the internet to start destroying our fundamental free speech liberties, man, they weren't that robust in the first place.
Yeah.
So I agree that the internet does create real harms. I'm not hiding my head in the sand, and we have to be thoughtful about that. But I also don't think we allow modern technology to get us in such a tizzy that we undermine the fundamental liberties this country was founded on. And speech is a big one.
The issues that I have is when a lot of these controversies spawn articles that you can deem in legitimate publications or internet publications. Like when the whole rape thing was going on with the New York comedy scene. Right now, there is something going on with a comic who was accused of something.
We talked about that
show.
When you were on.
Oh, did you?
Stage,
oh, sorry. Okay.
You can talk about.
But so
yeah,
we
you can talk
guy,
about it. We're
the
just
guy
saying
Jamie.
We did,
yeah. So the thing that bothers me about that is that just based on Facebook, yeah. I've seen 3 internet articles based on somebody's Facebook post.
Right.
So why Facebook should not be source material for an article? That's the problem that I have. So
I
want to see
agree.
How legitimate is something like a social media post in court. Like, when does that become fact? Like,
it's not going to be fact.
Be
it
fact,
might be evident
right.
of what the person said. But,
yeah,
but
it's hearsay is basically what it is.
Yeah, but it is really interesting. I'm not necessarily an expert on journalistic ethics. You
right,
know,
right,
First
right.
Amendment. But one of the things that we struggle with right now is one of the reasons that the internet has put so much pressure on First Amendment law is because we used to say freedom of the press and that meant something. Right?
Yeah.
There was a credentialed press. There was New York Times. Now with the internet, everybody's got a megaphone. Is a blogger the press? Is it only if you have an institutional New York Times? Like, the courts have no idea, and they're tying themselves in knots to figure that out, right? And so it really is, I don't necessarily have all the answers. I'm just saying these are literally the questions we grapple with in my project every day. None of them are easy, man.
They're very hard questions.
When our cell phones become self-aware, that will bring a whole new issue. But we we'll get into that next week.
All right. Well, are you coming to the fundraiser next week?
I don't know.
But the ACLU's fundraising?
Yeah.
It's with Judd Apatow.
I'll get you in.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'll get you in.
And special guests that are not at liberty to divulge at this time.
Ooh.
You might have to stand, but I can get you in.
We'll see. I don't know if I'm free. I mean,
I'll definitely be able to get you some free drinks.
I would love
though.
To. All right.
Okay. Okay. Well, listen. This is my Dan's already. I cannot tell you how much I love to talk about things like this, and you're one of my favorite people that I've met.
Well, this is certainly in stark contrast to the last couple episodes we had with me. So we really give you great variety here. On this podcast, and you never know what you're going to get.
I like coming.
You want to do your credits or whatever, your Twitter or whatever?
I actually have, my Twitter's at ShoneyTime, and I have a podcast of my own called Defend Your Movie. It's where comics come on and defend a movie they love that nobody else does. Sean Donnelly on Twitter and all that jazz. Instagram on all that jazz.
Sam Morrell, Morril, on all the stuff like that.
And I'm Lee Rowland at the ACLU. You can find my blogs at ACLU.org and my Twitter handle, where you will find me being attacked by liberals for defending Milo Yiannopoulos' theoretical First Amendment rights,
good
is
for
at,
you.
At Burkitron.
Good for you.
Nice. Good night, everybody.